Draw your attention to a couple of verses in chapter 45, beginning with verse 22. God is speaking to the people, and he said, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." In the psalm that we read this morning, the 22nd psalm, it is a graphic description of crucifixion, death on a cross. The hands and the feet being pierced, the body being out of joint, the tremendous thirst that a person experiences. The psalmist added a few other prophecies, the reviling and the mockery of the crowd, the shaking of the heads as they reviled him, and then the splitting or the dividing of his garments and the casting lots for his robe. But as the psalmist went on, he did not end with the cross, but he ended with the kingdom of God. This same Jesus, when he comes again, will reign over the earth. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish God's kingdom upon the earth. And as the psalmist said, even those that have already gone down to the dust will bow and worship before him. Now, when Paul was writing to the Philippian church, he said, "Let this mind be in you." Have this attitude that was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God and yet did not count it something to be grasped, to be equal with God. And yet he humbled himself and came in the likeness of flesh and was obedient as a servant, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, and he has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, in three places then in Scripture, we have it declared that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to swear. Paul tells us exactly what they will swear, that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. We sang it this morning. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Now, it is interesting that in Psalm and in Philippians, these confessions of those who are dead worshiping him, every knee, are related to the cross. The Lord suffered for man's sins, but he rose again, and he is going to reign. All the nations of the earth will bow before him. He's going to reign, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This means that death is not the end for any man, be he sinner or saint. That there is going to be a resurrection from the dead for all. Death is not the end. There is existence, life, beyond the grave. In Daniel chapter 12, beginning with verse 2, he tells us that those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be a general resurrection of all who have died. In Revelation chapter 20, we are told that the resurrection of the righteous dead will be separated by a 1,000-year period of the resurrection of the unrighteous dead. Revelation 20, beginning with chapter 4, "And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Who is the "they" who sat upon the thrones? It is the church to whom judgment shall be given. Paul said, "Don't you realize we're going to be judging angels?" And John goes on to say, "And I saw the souls of those that were beheaded," the martyrs during the tribulation period, "who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." So you see, the first resurrection, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. However, the rest of the dead did not live again until that 1,000-year period was expired. And so he said, this is the first resurrection. Continuing in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven had fled away. And there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So according to the scriptures, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But then the Lord is going to come back to the earth to reign over the earth. And when he comes back to the earth, we will return with him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints, and in that day he shall set his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and he will come to establish God's kingdom and to reign over the earth, and we shall live and reign with him for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead do not live until the end of that 1,000 years, and they will then be raised to stand before this great white throne judgment of God, and the books will be opened, and they will be judged out of the things that are written in the books according to their works. And if their name is not found written in the book of life, then they are to be consigned to the lake of fire, the second death. Two resurrections: the resurrection of the righteous dead to live and reign with the Lord forever, the resurrection of the unrighteous dead to be consigned before the judgment bar of God to their eternal consignment in the lake of fire. What an awesome scene that will be when the dead stand before God at that great white throne judgment. Jesus affirmed the general resurrection of all of the dead. Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 31, he said that the Queen of the South will rise in the day of judgment with the men of this generation There's going to be a resurrection. And the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation. But the Lord said, she will condemn them. Because she came all of the way to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Having heard of the fame of Solomon, she traveled all of the way from Ethiopia to sit at his feet and to hear his wisdom. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. But they weren't listening to Jesus. And therefore, she in the day of resurrection will rise with this generation, will condemn them because of her efforts to hear the truth. And here the truth is standing before them, and they will not hear. He went on to say, and the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and will condemn it. For they repented after preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, well might the men of Nineveh condemn that generation and our generation. Because Jonah wasn't a very pleasant preacher. He hated his job. He tried to escape from his job. He only went there under extreme duress. And when he got there, he was not happy. And he did not have a message of love. He did not even call upon them to repent. He only had a message of judgment. And he delivered it with a sneer and viciousness. 40 days and you're going to get wiped out. 40 days and comes destruction. And yet, the men of Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. And here, Jesus was saying, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. If you'll just believe, you will be saved. And yet they rejected. And so the men of Nineveh will rise in the day of judgment, will point a finger at that generation and said, you fools. You heard the truth directly from the Son of God, and you rejected that truth. All we had was that miserable prophet Jonah, but at least we had enough sense to repent. The dead, small and great. The sea gives up the dead which are in it. Death and hell deliver up the dead which are in them, and they all stand before God. The Queen of Sheba standing there, Cleopatra, the Caesars, Brutus, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, with all of the others, as they will face God, the Creator, who many of them have denied, who they have ridiculed, who they have scorned, who they have blasphemed. And now they stand before him to be judged, and the books are opened. I might say that this event is perhaps the most certain thing in all of history, though it hasn't happened yet. It shall happen. You can be sure of it. For here in Isaiah verse 23, he said, I have sworn by myself. Now we are told in the scriptures that when a person takes an oath, the purpose of the oath is to affirm the truth of what is being said and to end all controversy. I may tell you something, you say, oh, I can't believe that. Yes, I really saw it. Oh, you're putting me out. No, I saw it. Don't give me that. I swear by God I saw it. That's supposed to end the controversy. You're not supposed to say, oh, you know, I don't believe it. You swear by the higher power to confirm your oath. So you say, I swear by my mother's honor. I swear by God. I swear by the Bible. And you swear by something that is greater or higher than you to affirm what you have said is true. You don't say, I swear by my dog. That's something lower than you, and so you don't swear by your dog or cat. You might swear at them, but you don't swear by them. And the purpose of the oath is to end the controversy, but you take your oath by a higher power. Now, when God wants to affirm the truth to you, and is going to do so by taking an oath, he's got a problem. Because there's nothing higher than God. There's nothing greater than God. So God, when he takes an oath, has to take an oath by himself. I swear by myself. Because that's all the higher you can get. Now, you can be sure that when God affirms a truth and then swears to it, confirms it with an oath, that there is nothing more certain in all of the written word of God than these things that God has sworn to. And God said, I swear by myself. The word, he said, has gone out of my mouth. Now we are told that the word of God is sure. The word of God is certain. The Bible tells us that God will honor his word even above his name. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. So I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And God said, and it shall not return. That is, there will be no changing. There will be no backing down. There will be no recanting. And thus, this is the most certain thing of the future. There is nothing more certain than this. It's more certain than the sun coming up tomorrow morning. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has sworn to that. His word has gone forth. There is no recanting. And so thus you can be sure that sooner or later, you will bow your knee before God and you will swear that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, you're going to do that. Sooner or later, you will do that. But it is better that you do it sooner rather than later. Because to do it now has great value and benefit for you. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That bowing of your knee and that confession of Jesus Christ as Lord today will bring you salvation and eternal life. It will bring to you the forgiveness of your sins. It will bring you into fellowship with God. It will make you a child of God with all of the inherent blessings of being a child of God. But not to do it now, to wait until later, to wait until that day when you are forced to do it, will not have any eternal benefits, but will only be a declaration that you will make yourself of the folly that you experienced in life in the rejecting of God's plan of salvation. For one day, you're going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. God said, I swear by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth. It's in righteousness. It will not change. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. I mean, you can't escape that. There's no way you can possibly escape that. God has sworn to it. You will make that confession one day. Ultimately, every man. But since you will ultimately do it, why not do it now? Why wait until later when the confession will not bring salvation, but only be acknowledging the righteousness of God in his judgment of you and in the condemning of your soul? I would encourage you, since you're going to do it sooner or later, do it now. That's only wisdom. Shall we pray? Father, we stand before you in awe when you speak. But then when you take an oath and you swear to the truth of what has been spoken, you affirm the truth with an oath. Lord, then we bow before thee and we say, O Lord, thy word is true. It shall surely come to pass. And in light of the fact that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, there will be no escaping of that for any created being. Lord, may we this day bow our knees. May we this day confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. That we might have salvation and eternal life in his kingdom. Amen. So we stand. When we were kids, we used to often say, what do you know for sure? The answer was usually nothing or not much. Because, you know, we don't really know too much for sure. But there's one thing you can know for sure. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That you can know for sure. I know that more surely than I know anything in all the world. A lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I question. A lot of things I think I know, but maybe it's not right. But there's one thing I do know. Every knee shall bow. When God swears to something, you can be sure. How important that today we bow our knees. We confess that Jesus is Lord. And we surrender our lives to be ruled by Him. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room, and if you haven't made that decision, make it today. If you haven't bowed your knee, bow it today. If you haven't confessed that Jesus is Lord, confess it today. You're going to confess it sooner or later. Confess it today when it means salvation and eternal life. May the Lord be with you and watch over you as you go out into the world and as you face the ridicule of the world who is opposed to our Lord, who are in rebellion against Him. But know, those that are laughing and mocking at you, one day you will see them on their knees confessing that Jesus is Lord. They can't escape it. But it won't be to eternal life. It will be condemnation unto judgment. And so may the Lord bless you and strengthen you as you live for Him.